Amen. Let's pray. We'll get started. Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, thank you, Lord, most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and just, Lord, all he did on the cross, Lord, and just dying for our sins, Lord, and rising again on the third day, Lord, this book, Lord, that touches our hearts, Lord, and speaks to us, Lord, that changes lives. And Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that this wouldn't be in vain, Lord, but that you'd touch our hearts, Lord, you'd speak to us, you'd speak to those teens downstairs, Lord, as Lord, we're just trying to break things up here, Lord. And with all my heart and with all my soul, Lord, I just ask that your son be glorified today, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Touch our hearts with your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 26, and we'll start off in verse number 2. It says, then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, and to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of, I don't know, I really need to get one of them Bibles that has like the, Hakalah, is that how you say it? Thank you very much. I appreciate your guys' grace with me, and which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw Saul come after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Amalek and the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground and his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear to the earth at once, and I will smite him the second time. You know what? Now, this got nothing to do with the sermon. You better be careful who you listen to. And that's a good friend. You know what I'm saying? When you're out there living in caves and you're running from a guy who's trying to kill you, and he said, man, we're done. Let's kill him. Woo! Party time. David's like, nope. That's not what the Lord wants. Nothing to do with the message. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed? That'll preach. And be guiltless. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in this bolster and his cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat him away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, and a great space being between them. And David cried to the people, to Abner and to the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art thou not a valiant man, and who is like thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord the king? For there came out one of the people and to destroy the king thy lord. This is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is in the cruse of water that was in his bowl. I mean, this is kind of, I like imagining this stuff, you know what I mean? It's just, I mean, anyhow. And Saul knew David's voice, verse number 17, and said, is this the voice of my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord this pursue after this servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let the Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as one who doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool. That's the first time that phrase in your Bible appears, the fool. Happy April Fool's Day. This was Pastor Nar's joke on you guys. So he's downstairs teaching on believing with the kids down there, and I'm up here, and I read this morning, I was reading my Bible, and it came up to be, I was going to do Proverbs chapter 1, but for some reason, fool just stood out. And I started going through my computer there, I forget what it's called, e-sword, and you can type in a phrase and the fool pops up. This first one, the fool, pops up. Saul played the fool. Saul is the fool. I mean, he's trying to kill David. He knows David's going to be king. I mean, he's jealous of David. He knows of David's mighty men, and he's jealous of it. He's jealous that David's he's defeated Goliath. He's jealous of the songs. He doesn't like them. He knows God is with him. You know what I mean? And some people like that. Some people get the touch of God on them, and some other person out here, another preacher or somebody, just be jealous of it. I mean, they talked against Moses. Man, you got to put a veil on your, man, you're shining too much like the Lord. And speaking against him. But you know what Saul never does? He never repents. He was given a lot of opportunities to do it, but he never did. You know what Saul ends up? He's got his self-will. And by the end of Saul's life, he ends up in a witch's house. I don't know if that's a step further than a fool, but I think that's just fools. We're going to go through a fool today for this service. 1 Samuel chapter 13:13 is where it started with Saul. Self-will, not wanting to wait on the Lord. First Samuel chapter number 13. And in verse, guess what? Number. Actually, I'm not even there yet. It is verse number 13. I think we'll back up to the reason in verse number 8. And he said, and he tarried there 7 days. To the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither their burnt offering to me and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offerings. This was not Saul's job. This was Samuel's job. And so he's going to say, you know what? I can do it. Bring me the burnt offering. Like, what? You know, just because you had those signs early over there and you started speaking different, you know, and everybody known that, and that happened over there when Samuel said that those things were going to come to pass for a sign to you, doesn't mean you're supposed to do them now. You're not the priest. When it came to pass, verse number 10, as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. You're like, uh-oh. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, there's your self-will, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Wherefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord, I forced myself. I mean, there it is. Therefore, and offered a burnt offering, and Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly. She knows that word right there. She got it memorized. Praise the Lord. But you know, I pulled this out of one of my old sermons. I think it's kind of really neat. Just this difference in Saul didn't start out that way. And a lot of people, they don't start off fools. But they can end up in hell. They can end up on the wrong path. They can take the wide path and not stick on the straight and narrow like Saul did. Not repent. when I was reading through this before and studying out, in Saul's last meal, these are the last meal differences. When Saul gets anointed, he's looking for his father's asses, as it says. You can see there's the last meal when he's with the witch, and his first meal when he's with Samuel. You can see the company he's with. You can see that with fools too. I mean, he's over there with God's people, chapter number 9, verse 22, and them that were bidden. But in chapter number 28, verse 22, it doesn't even say who he's with. It says servants. And I guarantee he wasn't with Abner. Abner wasn't going to have none of that. No. You're going to go look for a witch? What? Someone with a familiar spirit? No. God said not to do that. He had some sense. The witch is referred to as a handmaid. I mean, see how his values are going down. The place he sat, chapter 9, verse 22, he's in the chiefest place, is what it says. This is where God set him. I'd like to state that. This is where God put him. This is where Samuel said, "You're going to sit here." The best seat in the house. God's place. But in the end of his thing, as he's done foolishly, you know what? He's sitting on a witch's bed. The house he was at was a parlor. Chapter number 9 in 1 Samuel, verse 22, it says he was at a parlor chosen by a prophet. You know what a parlor is? It's a living room. Living room. But in chapter 28, verse 8, he's in a witch's house, a dead room. Talking about just foolish choices. The food he ate a shoulder, that portion that was for Samuel. But in chapter 28, verse 24, he's eating a fatted calf. Kind of like the prodigal. The desire of the Lord. The desire of the Lord, it says, "And whom is all the desire of the Lord? Is it not upon thee, Samuel?" That's where it was in chapter 9, verse 20. I mean, chapter number 10, verse 1, he's the Lord's anointed, and the Lord drew close to him. But in 28, verse 16, it says, you know what? You've become the Lord's enemy. No, that's me. And his departure. When he leaves there, when the Lord was with him, he said he was at the top of the house in the spring of the day. Chapter number 9, verse 26. And he's going away in the spring of the day. But in 28, verse 20, he's on the floor of a witch's house. He goes from the floor to the bed, and he's leaving at night. You know what? And he dies like a fool. Look at Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. Like I said, that was the first time the term "the fool" comes in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 14, or excuse me, Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." It's almost the same when you look at Psalms chapter 53, verse 1. It's just switched around a little bit. Psalms chapter 53, verse 1. April 1st. 53, verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." I mean, those abominable works, those are your fools. They're corrupt. corrupt. There's no honesty. There's no truth. There's lies. They're deceitful. They're never doing good. They're selfish. Despisers of those that are good. Always making bad decisions. I mean, and willingly. Knowing the difference between right and wrong and choosing the wrong way. Choosing abominable ways. Choosing ways that are not even fit to be talked about. I went into Harbor Freight today and I couldn't... I mean, this guy that was ahead of me, I can't even utter what he's... It was X-rated talk on his phone. I mean, I was just like, I looked at him and just kind of went, what? And I turned back around and praise the Lord, there's this old guy coming up with wheelbarrow tires. So I just started talking to him. I said, those the Harbor Freight flat free ones? He's like, oh, yeah, I think so. I said, well, don't ever leave weight in those things because there'll just be a flat spot in your tire. Better off getting the ones from Les Schwab. And then, praise the Lord, he ended up all the way at the other end still. Okay, I'm going to get off the phone now. Man, you should have talked that garbage in your car. Abominable. Iniquity. Filth. Sin. And he ain't got no problem doing it in front of everybody. Just a fool. That's the first time the fool appears there, the fool, in your Psalms. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, if you would. Proverbs chapter 7 is... I've preached this a few times to the kids downstairs. Just in the lust thereof, the boys. I used to tell my boys, and same thing. Anyhow, this whole Proverbs chapter 7, it's one long proverb that all kinds of ties in together. Proverbs 7, we're going to read it because this is the fool. Says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. You know what? You gotta keep that close, that wisdom. And that this should be family to you. Does that make sense, that verse? You gotta keep it close. You gotta protect it. Like we just, that word have I hid mine heart. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth her with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near the corner, and he went the way of her house. And in the twilight and the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You know, there's a saying. I forgot about this. There's a saying amongst the youth today when it's talking about a harlot, talking about a person's body count. That's what they call it now. We don't need to expand on what that is. They say, she's from the streets. Or he's from the streets. She's from the streets. That's Bible. That's Bible. She is loud and stubborn, verse number 11, and bide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. That's Bible. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of loves until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And here it is. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You know what? This young man also went looking for it because he's a fool. That's what this next verse is going to say. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. till a dart striketh through his liver as a bird hasteth with a snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. I mean, didn't have a discernment. Chasing after those lusts, chasing after those pleasures that his heart may discover itself, as the Bible says. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to my words and to my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Not really a happy ending, but those first few verses are a good warning. Not to go lusting after some things. Careful what you're going to follow after when you're not having discernment. Not a lover of wisdom. Not a lover of learning. Not a lover of listening. Not a lover of keeping God's word. Bible says lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. Turn over there to hold your place in Proverbs. Turn over there to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, "This know," this is some things you're supposed to know. "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." You know, there's people in this world that you'll know by talking with them, and the Lord don't want you to do nothing with them. You know, that's not meaning that you can't go up and give them a track. But once they start da 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 da, and oh yeah, you know, well, you know, Muhammad also died for my sins too. Okay, well, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to argue with you. The Holy Spirit's going to have to teach you that. And some people, I'm getting ahead of myself. But denying. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying that power. The power of what? The gospel. That's what the Bible teaches. The power of the gospel, that Christ died for my sins according to the Scripture, and that He rose again on the third day. And I've got forgiveness of sins through His blood. I can have a home in heaven if I call upon Him. That he went to a place, that the power of the cross is what it teaches. That he went up and he died on Calvary on a cross. Suffered and died for me. Innocent blood. Sinless blood. Not like me. The power. It's 1 Corinthians 1:18. Power of the gospel. Romans 1:16. 2 Timothy 1 chapter 8. "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of your Lord, nor of his prisoner, but thou be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." That gospel that saved those kids. The gospel that saved you. The shed blood that you trusted in. The power. You get somebody, I don't think, you don't have to believe in the shed blood. Shed blood, Jesus' blood didn't do nothing for you. What? No, you just got to be a good person. Well, where do you find that? I'm not going to deny the power. Oh, you can get to heaven anyway. No, you can't. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you can keep all the Ten Commandments. Jesus told Nicodemus, the most noble person, the ruler of the synagogue. He was a ruler of the Jews. He said, "You need to get born again." Mr. Religious? He didn't say that, but. That's kind of nice thing about going into those prison systems, Brother Mike, is you ain't got to convince them they're sinners. You know what I mean? Like, man, well, that's why we're here. You know? You have a hard time doing that with some other people. The power of God in the Scriptures. Jesus brought that up. You do err not knowing the Scriptures and the power of God. He said that a few times. The power of God unto salvation. That saved all of us. Amen. Timothy tells you, he says, you know what? You got to depart from them. Let's turn back over there to Proverbs. Depart from fools. I don't want to be a fool. You know what I mean? I don't want to hang around fools. I don't. I like hanging around you guys. There's no fools here. You know what I mean? I'm not going down to the bar. I don't want to hang around fools. Timothy tells you to depart from Proverbs chapter, look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and in verse number 13, it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Look at verse number 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I don't want to hang around that guy. I want to be wise. I know that people that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart, people that are following after the Lord, people that are sticking around this book, those are the people I want to be around. You know what I mean? That's it. And I'm not being selfish. I'm just trying to be wise in it. I'm trying to be, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be a fool. I should have never brought this stupid thing in. I guess I ran my whole business off that phone. Ran a business off my phone for you. I don't even have to use a computer. Thank you, Lord. I am a fool when it comes to running my business. I need more wisdom in that. Please pray for me. You need to depart from the company you keep. I need to depart from that stupid phone. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 says, listen to this right here. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. It doesn't get any more clear than that. So there's a time, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, you should listen to people. And I the Bible teaches that. You should listen. But at a certain point, you're going to realize, you know what? This guy is a fool. This lady is a fool. This person is a fool. I can go. The Lord says I can. And I'm not being rude. Have a nice day. That's it. And smile, just a brother back there, and go. You don't have to be rude about it. You know, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I mean, it's pretty simple. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16. Wherefore there is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it. And that's it right there. You know, wisdom comes from God. And he's got no heart in it. He just wants to be pleasured, wants to pleasure himself, wants to be Mr. Funny. I mean, there's a guy now, I kid you not, when I think of a fool, there's this guy, Theo Vaughn. Anybody ever heard of him? That guy, when I think that's the guy, that's a fool. My opinion. Just a biggest fool there is right now. Just, I mean, he's so stupidly funny, but he's just a fool. Foolish jesting, just dumber than dirt. Witty, just dumb. You know what? They enjoy folly. Fools enjoy folly. Bible says this, let a bear... Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 12. This is what I would call, I call these violent verses. Let a bear robbed of her whelps be to man rather than a fool in his folly. Like, that's in the Bible? Yep. Let a bear robbed of her whelps. Do we understand that? I should just bring Heather up here. She can preach on her. John, let her preach on that. You know what I mean? I've never shot a bear, but I've seen videos of bears getting shot. You know what I mean? Okay, now we're just going to take it a step further. We're going to take Mama Bear. We're going to take her cubs. These are mine. Oh, boy. And the Bible says, let you be robbed of her whelps rather than a fool in his folly. The outcome would be better for you. You might live over here, but you're going to have some scars. But if you read chapter number 7, you're going to die. But you might live. Mama Bear just might beat you to half to death and chew half your face off, but you'll live. Might get a chance to accept Christ. I don't know. I'm just shooting from the hip here. It's a violent verse. It's scary. The end thereof. They don't want to set their heart on believing the truth. Seeing that they have no heart in it. That's what it says in verse number 16. Seeing they have no heart. You know, when I got saved, that verse that stood out to me the most, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. That's what stood out to me. Because I knew I had a heart problem. I didn't quite know what that meant, but I knew that that was probably one of the most important things that had to do with salvation for me, is I had to believe in mine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I did that. I confessed my sin, and you know what? Jesus saved me. But you know what? A fool has got no interest in doing that. It's a belief issue. It's a heart issue. That faith. You got to set your heart on the truth. I don't know if we got time. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Popular verses. You guys probably already know these ones. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And most of us can probably think of somebody, I mean, have worked with somebody that's kind of like this, or you know somebody that's like this. They just don't have that interest. Fools are known by their mouth. I'm going to skip ahead a few of these. A fool, and I'm not even going to get into a bunch of those, but a fool errs exceedingly with his mouth. Let me see if I find this one. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 6. Huh? Amen. Yeah. And this is it. I mean, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 6. It says, a fool's lips enter in contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Verse number 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. But that verse number 6, though, a fool's lips enter in contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. That's not in the Bible. Do we understand what that means? That means a guy come up and start da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? Am I wrong? No. There's quotes on this. I mean, lost people quote this in a different way. Mike Tyson, he quotes it as, social media has made you all too comfortable and some of you need to get punched in the face. Right? Because people just type, 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 type. I mean, his other one was everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. You know, and that was his boxing one. You know what I mean? But I mean, it worked. If you've worked any kind of construction job, everybody knows that guy right there grew up a long time and he never got punched in his mouth. Can I get a witness out there? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And you just say, man, that guy get punched in his mouth a couple times and he would not talk like that. Because he's talking foolishly. You talk about my mama like that. Pow! You know what I'm saying? All right, I apologize. I'll keep moving on. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, a fool is known by the multitude of his words. I'd like to say this. I'll give a fool some props here. Fools are tough. The UFC's full of them. Fool's tough. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Proverbs chapter 17, 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Do we understand what that means? I mean, you whoop him 100 times, and he's like, meh. That didn't hurt. I didn't learn it. I mean, that's Bible. I mean, I beat that guy half to death and he's still like, I don't get it. I'm not going to change. I want to be reprovable. I want to be reprovable. I'm going to skip past some of these. I'll just say a lot of fools think they're always right. Proverbs chapter 12, 15. Proverbs chapter 26, 4 through 5. Ecclesiastes says, you know what a fool does? A fool walks in darkness. Ecclesiastes 2, 14, that says they walk in darkness. I want you to turn over to John 3, 16. We'll hit a couple more passages. And like I said, I want to be reprovable. I don't ever want the Lord to tell me that I need to change something. I need to get something right. And I'm going to close my ears and my heart and my mind off to him. Amen. John chapter number 3. And this is, I'm just going to skip ahead to most popular verse in Scripture, John 3:16. We know that. We know verse 17, right? 18 through 21 is light. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, verse number 18, is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The fool don't want to come to the light. We'll go to Luke chapter 24 and we'll close. Luke chapter 24 is a popular passage. I think it's pretty accurate to say as a fool, you can say a fool is a non-believer. Okay? But that doesn't mean, how do I say this? That a fool is a lost person. You can be a believer and still be a fool. And I'm going to show you. And this, I'm just going to go ahead and for sake of time, Luke chapter 24, verse number 13, very popular passage. I love this passage. I love these guys. These are two believers, without a shadow of a doubt. This is the resurrection. We're coming up on Easter Sunday. The Bible says, and behold, two of the men that two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I love that about the Lord, that, and you know, I'm just going, But their eyes were withholden that they should not know him. And he said, what manner of communications are these that ye have one another as you walk and you're sad? So here these guys are, they're communing together, they're talking, they're not arguing and debating one another. They're communing together, they're reasoning, they're talking about all these things about the Lord. And they have, in my opinion, a little bit better of an understanding than most of all the disciples. And you're going to see, we'll read through that right then in the next few verses. But I like that the Lord, that they're sad, they don't have this understanding, they're not quite getting it all, and Jesus comes up in there and just says, and he starts communing with them. He said, what y'all talking about? You know the Holy Ghost will do that? And one of them's name, who was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? I mean, he's getting a little sassy with Jesus, but I mean, amen, Jesus loves him, you know what I mean? And he said unto him, what things? I mean, Jesus is humorous himself. And this is what they say. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day. They knew about the third day. None of the disciples did. They couldn't remember any of that. Since these things were done, yea, and certain women which also were accompanied made us astonished. So they're on this emotional roller coaster kind of deal, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And he said, that's Jesus, and he said unto them, oh what? Fools, ooh. And slow of heart to what? Believe. What? All that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I'm going to apologize. I went through a lot of scriptures tonight, but I didn't go through as many scriptures as Jesus did. Okay? Amen. No, I'm not saying it. But when Jesus is talking, opens up the scriptures, you're like, you know what I'm saying? But somebody comes up to you and you have this basic understanding of what things going on, and then somebody goes, oh, fools. How are you going to take that? How are you going to take it when the Holy Spirit tells you, you need to work on this, you need to learn this, you need to understand it? How are you going to do that? How are you going to respond? Are you going to get bitter? Are you going to get angry? Are you going to not read your Bible? Are you going to put it on the back shelf? How are you going to respond? How are you going to receive it? Are you going to get corrected? Are you going to be a fool and not believe all that the Scripture has spoken? And they drew nigh to the village, whither he went, and he made as though he would have gone further. So this is what happened, that Jesus corrects them with the Scripture, calls them fools. By the way, that's not being mean. Jesus is being meaningful. And Jesus says, you know what? Jesus says, you know what? Hey, guys, I'm gonna keep going. I'm going to take off now. I'm going to keep going down the road. And they're like, and yet, right there, you got a choice. And you've all been there. If you've read any of your Bible for any amount of time, you get to this point and you're, you know, Lord speaking to you, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of tired. I should go to bed. And he gives you a little bit more. And you got a choice. Should I keep reading more? Or should I constrain him? And the Bible says, but they constrained him. They constrained him. They said, You know what? Abide with us. Stay with us. And you know what they did? They received that correction. And the Bible says over there in chapter number 32, it says, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us the scriptures? I don't want to be a fool. We talked on wisdom that one time. I mean, sometimes you're going to make decisions, you're going to make wrong decisions, but you know what I mean? I want to make the wisest decision I can. Some decisions you're going to have to make on faith. That's why I said, you're going to make wrong decisions sometimes. Some decisions, you can't please God without faith. Sometimes it's, I don't know, Lord. Welcome to faith. Lean not to thine own understanding. I want to trust the Lord. I want to seek the Lord. I don't want to be a fool. The rest of the 365 days there, you know what I mean? So, amen. Brother Mike, will you close in prayer?